Monday, March 14, 2016. Dakota County Board of Corrections at 3 o'clock. Dakota County Board of Commissioners at 3:02.
Yes. Let's call the County Board of Corrections to order and send a sit push, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
A current copy of the open meeting act is posted on the west wall in the entrance back there. If anybody is interested in following along, will you call roll, please?
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Okay, we're all here. Hey, was we here last time, all of us?
Yeah.
Was we? Okay. Where was I at? All right, we're going to go to consent agenda items, I guess. We just need approval for the previous minutes, which was February 1 of 2016.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, got a motion and a second. We call roll, please.
Tony?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes. We're going to go to new business. Sheriff Kleinberg, the jail report. Do we have a report?
Once we've done about 83 inmates, 8 feds, 0 juveniles, about 91 total. Marshals brought in $16,000, ICE $650, the feds in general $1,660. BIA, which is going to change here pretty quick, that was $1,690, and for the fiscal federal was $120,000 we brought in here last six months. So got the jail cost, the inmates down to $5,729, which I don't know how much that fluctuates, but it's been staying pretty low, luckily. So, you know, we're still about 8% under budget for this year. So it's looking pretty good, actually.
Yeah, inmates are down. That's good. Yeah. That's good news.
Yeah, the inmates are going down.
Good numbers.
How's your BIA going to change?
BIA is going to change because we got a meeting set up with the Department of Interior to do a new contract with them, and they're the whole way the federal government pays now. See, always the problem before, if you guys have been involved with jail, it's hard to collect your money from the Department of Interior, which is over the BIA. So they pay different now, so they pay ahead of time or something like that. So they assured me that we're not going to have those issues collecting money from them. Yeah. If we renegotiate a contract, and they're pretty willing. They're driving up Lake Andes with everybody right now.
Okay.
So as long as they're not bringing too many females, because we've been pretty full on females. But another thing this isn't reflecting is I just caught the other day, I'm now bringing a lot of, I've talked to Bob down in Burke County, and we've been getting we've been housing quite a few Burke County people here just recently. They haven't been marked on there. They've been marked as courtesy holds. They're not courtesy holds. They're contract. So we're not reflecting those numbers coming in. We're going to fix that here. I just caught that here a couple weeks ago. So you guys should be able to see a little more of what we're actually bringing in rather than
bringing money in.
Bringing money in. Yeah, that's what I like to say.
What do you charge county? 65?
65.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Burke County's paying them.
Yeah. And that was pretty much the going rate throughout. When we did a survey, and that was pretty much the going rate, but that was 2 or 3 years ago. But
and it goes up and down. Actually, yeah. It's went down because I know in Thurston County we were at 60. And then we went up to 65, and I think it was up to almost 70 at one point there.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody will build a jail, and then competition drives it down a little bit. So the medical thing is another thing we're working on, getting a little bit, spending a little bit less on medical than what we've been spending. So I'm sure you guys are aware of that. You've gotten some correspondence that reflect that. So we're trying to work on...
It's like an open checkbook.
Yeah, we're trying to close it a little bit. We need to spend it on paint. But unless there's any other questions, I had some stuff I had prepared for you guys that had to do with some heat exchangers in there, and I had pictures and a whole report I got made up. It just didn't get to you in time to get it on the agenda. I kind of got taken out by the flu last week, so I'll have it for you in the next meeting or maybe on the board meeting you can look at it. Other than that, that's about it, gentlemen and ladies. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Okay, go to Corrections Committee reports. Any? None. We'll go to Mail Emergency Business. Any? None. Public comment. Anybody from the public want to make any comments on the Board of Corrections? If not, we will adjourn, and we will go into the Board of Commissioners meeting, which it is 6 after. Will you call roll, Joan, please?
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Again, the current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the wall back in the entrance for anyone to review and anybody in attendance. First of all, we're going to go over the consent agenda items. Approval of the minutes on the 29th of 2016, payroll claims and account payable claims, which there was zero. I went over the payroll claims. Everything was in order. Any questions, concerns? If not, we just need a motion.
I'd move to approve the consent agenda items.
I'll second it.
Okay, we get a motion by Bill and a second by Rick. We call roll, please.
Tony?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes. Okay, new business A of 305. We're going to open an award gravel bids. Doug Kellogg.
Three bids. First one's from LG Everett's. Type 1, they're 3/4 inch down on the screen, is $1,435 a ton. Type 2 inch screen is at $1,840 a ton. That's at their pit, their location here in Sioux City, Iowa.
18 what, Fred?
1840.
Thank you.
Second one is Riverwood Sand and Gravel.
Riverview?
Riverwood.
No, it says Riverview here on
They changed their name.
Yes, it says Riverview here also. Sorry about that.
Is that,
Newcastle?
Oh. Peterson's Hill?
Newcastle, correct.
Okay.
Riverwood.
Is it View or Wood?
View.
View?
Okay. Yes. Sorry about that.
Sorry.
3/4 inch down on screen is $10. That's at the pit, $16.50 delivered to a Hubbard yard. Type 2 inch screen is also $10 a ton at pit and $16.50 delivered.
They do have the capability of washing it now.
They just started. They bought a washer last year, and I think he said he was going to try and have it set up. I haven't heard anything from him. But
is that Tom you talked to, or is that the hillbilly from Alaska?
That's Tom I talked to.
Okay.
The last one is Willers out of Pilgrim. S&S Willers Incorporated, Pilgrim, Nebraska. They're three-quarter state of Nebraska spec road gravel, $12 at the pit, and $21.44 delivered. They have no one-inch screen, so.
Hey, refresh my memory, Fred. Is HME, is he getting that neck of the woods? Or is he?
He has hauled some out of the pass for us out of there.
Okay. It was kind of a good fit because he would go overloaded and he'd come back empty.
That's correct.
So we might want to. And I knew it was a few years ago we looked at that, but then the gravel got scarce, right?
Yes.
So we might want to get a hold of John and just ask him,
okay,
you know, if it comes down that pipeline, you know, because I promise you after this winter, there's going to be a shortage. I'm sure.
We're having a hard time keeping up right now.
For them hauling it in?
Yes.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
Right.
I think John was only charging $4 or $5 a ton.
Yeah, it was pretty, it was reasonable.
That was $5 a ton.
It was just about all the way. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's simple enough. Okay, so I guess basically what we need to do is we'll need a motion to approve, and I'm assuming like we always do, we just approve all three. Is that correct? So then we have the resources for all three.
We need the three resources, right?
What's that?
We need three resources, I mean.
Yeah, so then we have all three resources, right? I think that's what we've always done in the past, so.
Yep. Yeah. I'll make a motion to approve all three gravel bids.
Second.
Okay, we got a motion by Rick and a second by Tony. Will you call roll, please, Joan?
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
All right, thanks, Greg. Okay, B, we're going to go to Noel and Sophie Vargas. Am I saying that correctly? Asking board approval for a special designated liquor license, liquor permits for the rodeo events held at the Old Crystal Lake in 2016.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you. We have 7 dates, so I don't know if we have to give you those dates.
It would be nice to have those dates, yes.
Okay.
Do you have them all?
We do.
Okay.
Just read them.
You just want to read them off the dates?
Yes. The first one will be April 30th. Second one, May 29th. June 18th. July 3rd. July 30th. August 20th. And September 4th.
Okay, I'm sure the board has a few questions for these folks, I guess, and kind of what the criteria and things that, you know, normally in the past when Commissioner Gomez would have them, I mean, he would have guidelines as well that, you know, the board would ask of him to make sure that was done and taken place. So I know, number one, the biggest thing is the issue is
security.
Yeah, security is, you know, a major, major issue, but making sure that you have...
You'll have to have talk to Sheriff Kleinberg and line up the deputies so that you have a couple of them there at your event each time you have it.
Okay, that's not a problem.
So,
have you guys had ran this type of operation before? Just out of curiosity.
Yes, one time before.
Okay.
In Omaha.
In Omaha, you did.
Yes.
Okay.
I have to say, you know, Tony's done this several years. And Tony has never had an issue out there. I think he's always used the off-duty deputies.
Okay.
And it's always been very smooth. It turned out to be a good family event.
Okay.
And with that, Tony was very generous to our community. He donated a lot of these funds back to our community, different organizations. And we do appreciate that, and I hope you can help
us out. Can do the same, yes.
Good.
Are you, like, at your event, you're going to have alcohol there?
Yes.
Are you going to have, who are you going to have do that here?
We have El Dorado from Omaha, Nebraska.
I was kind of hoping maybe you'd use somebody local.
Yeah.
You know, so that, you know, it kind of helped. Like Bill said, a community deal.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
I don't know if that's even an option or if it really matters. I mean,
well, it don't, but it's, you know. It's,
I mean, it would be nice. I totally agree. It would be nice, but I guess the main thing is I'm sure that it's like Bill just stated. You know, the generosity that Tony's always had. You know, with the community of giving back. We're not telling you have to give back, but it was nice that, you know, once you have the rodeos and what Tony did is. And then, like I said, the main thing is.
like I said, Tony's always ran a first class operation out there, and the main thing is you've got to have the security.
And the security people were going to use the same, because we were thinking about having our own. The last time we had 18, and the same crew were able to come, but no, we're going to use what Tony had before.
Okay.
Just since they're local and.
Yeah. And then after each event, make sure that things are tidied up to where, you know, like Tony, he always had guys picking things up afterwards.
So. Yes.
What are the times? I'm assuming that all these 7 days, they're same times.
Same times.
What's the times that you guys will operate?
It will be from, the doors will open at 2 and until 11:30 p.m. What's the latest that?
I was going to say something. I think to avoid neighbors to call you guys up, and this is what I did. It's not necessarily you guys do the same thing. You know, this is what I did in the last 10 years that I operate the rodeo. When it's on Sunday, which is the days that you choose that I can see, the next day is a working day. So if you're going to go 11:30, they're going to start screaming and howling and complain about the noise.
It was basically the loud music that they were having issues with. It would carry to different parts of the.
It all depends on the way the wind's blowing that day. Because I live right out by there.
But it, you know, if you kept it or had it on a Saturday night, you know, mixed. Would make a difference.
Or a holiday, like Memorial Day weekend, Labor Day weekend, 4th of July, Fourth on the weekend, you know, you can go 11:30, there's no problem. And but this is what I did, and it's not necessarily that you guys do the same thing. You can do whatever you want to do. That's your call. I mean, that's your events, and that's whatever you want to do it. But I recommended myself to avoid headaches on days that is going to be working day. The next day, 11:30 is kind of late for some of the neighbor people around the area. But it's up to you.
What time did you shut down, Tony?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
And 11 o'clock on holidays. And you can go 11:30. There's no problem. I mean, it's really up to them. But they can go.
They could go as long as they want.
They want it into 2 a.m. in the morning. But we're just trying to help you guys out, because you're going to have complaints.
Okay.
Yeah. Period.
There's 4 dates that are Saturdays.
Oh, there's Saturdays?
Saturdays.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I don't have a calendar in front of me. Well, right here on the wall.
The 30th
and,
is
and you
Saturday.
Know,
the 30th is
the
Saturday.
18th.
Last call.
Okay, well, that's...
The 30th
I'm sorry.
Of July.
I thought it was Sunday. Sunday.
Okay.
But I think that the last call on alcohol is 1:30, right? Or 1 o'clock, and then 1:30 you got to be closed up by state law. Is that right, Kim? On liquor license?
Nebraska changed to 2 a.m., didn't they?
Did they change to 2?
But it's kind of the bar owner's discretion, is my understanding. Because not everybody switched.
Okay.
Well, it's not going to be 2 a.m. or 1 a.m. But 11:30.
11:30 would be fine, you know, because I guarantee you, we're not inside the building. People start getting drunk and disappear and go, you know, that's a lake out there. I mean, there is...
Yeah.
I would recommend it will be on 11:30.
Okay, 11:30. Let's make it 11:30.
For your own safety, for the safety of the community and the attendance in general. So,
okay.
I mean, that's my recommendation. It's not necessarily like you said, but...
Yeah, I'm sure you'll be a good neighbor, and you know you'll be back next year to ask the same thing. If there's not any big issues, it'll be so much easier next year for you to do the same thing again.
Okay.
And I think it's smart that you go along with the deputies off duty, just because they got the connections, they know, and if there is, you know, if you do have some kind of an issue, the resources are right there for backup, you know.
Okay.
You never know.
Yeah.
Brian.
Want to talk about
it. I will give
you anything
that,
to say,
there's
Brian?
A deputy that you need to get a hold of them. Brian,
here.
Can you? Do you want to say something?
Yeah,
Brian?
We off-duty deputies do that. They do it through their union.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I've worked a lot of events with Tony, and I know a lot of the people that come out there. So, So it helps when we're out there because, you know, we got the radios, and we know a lot of the people, too. So that helps. And that's, you know, the biggest thing is not letting people bring other alcohol in, you know. And, you know, parking everybody outside and letting everybody walk in versus bringing cars in because you don't know what they're bringing in the cars. So, you know, then as far as weapons and that kind of thing, you know, we can't pat people down, but we can definitely look them down. You know what I mean? Just look it over real quick. So.
And we're going to have those bracelets. We're going to be asking for the ID, and then they will have those bracelets.
Yeah, that's – yeah, somebody should be aware where the alcohol is being served at. Somebody should be sitting there checking IDs.
Yes.
So. And no, we're going to be checking IDs at the door.
Oh, at the door? Oh, that's good, yeah.
And I would still recommend that you use a local liquor license to handle your beer situation, whether it be like the VFW Club or El Ranchito or somebody like that. I'd really like to see that, too. And it keeps it here in the community. And these guys work with them. They know them.
Okay. Do you have an issue with that?
No. But since we know this guy from prior years.
Mm-hmm. And the this last was simpler? It was, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, the last one, the last event that we had, I mean, he was really good. And
I think Tony could help you with someone local.
Okay. Yeah, I would recommend it to somebody. One thing that I want to mention, too, when the rodeo is over, sometimes the next day the wind really blows and plastic bags, start flying all over parts of the highway. Yeah. So we need to clean up the next day. I will recommend that myself because that is a lot of garbage, believe me. A lot of garbage that you have. So you need to clean up the following day, no later.
No later. Okay, perfect. So we'll just get the information from Tony for them.
There you go.
Great.
That'd be great.
And I don't want you thinking that we're sitting here interrogating you guys today.
No.
We just want to make sure it's going to be a smooth...
Yes.
Trying to help you out.
Yes, that's all we're trying to do.
Trying to help you out.
We
want to see you be able to do it again.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Good amount.
I'd like to make a motion to extend those dates for road events in the special designated license.
Second.
Okay. We got a motion and a second. Tony and Bill, you want to call roll, please?
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to move on to C, Amy Kleinberg, Group Resources of Iowa, Three Rivers Benefit, to present the board the options and coverage for routine colonscope and Nakona County Health Care Coverage Plan. You like
it's not
that?
Very nice to put colonoscopies after a rodeo.
It's not. But, you know, I want to add something real quick before you get going. A year or so ago, okay, one of the employees went to... Well, just about drank the business, okay, mm-hmm. and realized that it was not covered, okay. So at that point in time, I called Don, and I was like, this doesn't make sense to me. Mm-hmm. So, and I thought it was a done deal, okay, until now another employee is going in for the routine checkup, and they're saying, well, you're not covered.
Right.
So I thought it was handled. I thought it was a done deal. So Don might be fired, and we might be hiring you.
Okay, let's do that. Yeah, this most current conversation is the first I was aware that there had been questions about the benefit.
Oh, yeah.
Now, my question is, if we had something that was not like on the colonoscopy, how about mammograms and stuff like that?
Those are included in your wellness benefit now, specifically
okay.
included. So they're fine.
All right.
$25 copay, 100% coverage.
Okay.
It's just that the colonoscopies are not specifically included, and it really, besides the mammograms and pap smears, it's just office visits, labs, and x-rays, so there's no way to scoot that in there under the wellness benefit that you have now.
Yeah. Well, I just, when I heard about it and I brought it to Joan's attention and then she called you,
right.
I just thought we're putting people at risk, and I wanted to...
Well, it's a lot cheaper to pay for a colonoscopy than it is to pay for
something.
A lot.
Yeah, I mean, it just makes sense. It's a no-brainer is what it is. Like I said, I thought it was a done deal. I really did.
Yeah. So.
But whatever. Here we are. Let's start from scratch.
Right. So the page one, the top part, just basically tells you the USPSTF, which is the United States Preventive Services Task Force, their recommendations, which if you guys change your deductibles, copays, out-of-pockets, you will be subject to this guideline at the top here, where a screening colonoscopy has to be covered every 10 years, starting at the age of 15, going to the age of 75. Okay, so when you go non-grandfathered, you have to put that benefit in your plan, okay? They're required to be covered at 100%, no cost sharing for the member. A lot of discussion at the time that all of this stuff came up with the Affordable Care Act was if polyps are found during a routine colonoscopy, should they take them out? Do we have to separate that out? Everybody's decided if they find them and take them out, it doesn't cause really any extra expense. Just cover it. It's easier for everybody.
Well, let's just look at them, and then we'll come back later.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Take
right.
Again.
Yeah.
And at the option of the plan, you can allow for higher frequency or a lower age of high-risk individuals. That's somebody with a family history, previous diagnosis years and years ago, has been clear and now wants to go on for another screening. So that's your option.
Okay.
So the way I see it, we basically have three options to cover them. The screening colonoscopies. We can do them deductible and coinsurance. That makes it really easy for a member to understand almost all their other benefits are covered that way. You guys have a low out-of-pocket. It's $1,250, so they would definitely still see a payment towards that. Average cost, I looked them up the other day, in our area from 2015 on, anywhere between $2,000 and $3,000. So you're looking at $750 to $1,000 that could be, you know, paid out for that member.
Out-of-pocket.
That's what the plan would pay. On top, they would pay the $1,250 if it was their first claim of the year, whatever.
Okay.
That's the most they would pay for it. On the negative side, that does not incent somebody to go have it done necessarily if they think it's still going to cost them $1,250. So that would be one thing on the negative side. And you will have a much bigger transition when you go to ACA mandated benefits, because then you're going to cover it at 100% and you're not easing your way into it, okay? Second option is to pay it with a $25 copay like all the rest of your wellness benefits. That makes it really easy to understand if it's wellness, which these screening colonoscopies are, it's going to be the same as what everybody's been used to. They pay $25, the plan picks up the rest. So that obviously incents them. And let's face it, you're not going to have 50 people run out to do it tomorrow because it is a colonoscopy. So, you know.
Is it that bad? I'm not going to.
You better stay in your 40s.
I'm just going to say it's probably the most pleasant thing that you ever have done. But you don't really remember it afterwards, but there's a lot funner things to do.
Nothing sounds fun about
yeah.
it.
It's the pre.
Yeah, that part's brutal.
I was told, and maybe you can tell me, and I think I saw you on this, you know, they give you the big jug, I guess, and somebody, one of our friends said that the insurance won't cover it, but you can buy a little bottle, and it'll do the exact same job, but it's a little more money for you to pay out of pocket.
Those little bottles, though, are pretty cheap. Like the Citramax is like
whatever.
A dollar
it'll do the same
98.
Thing that the 10-liter does.
Yep. Probably so.
All right. See, I guess I'm looking forward to it. I'll take a little bottle.
If you modify your diet a few days ahead of time, it does make that process a lot better. Like if you go to Jell-O and broth 3 or 4 days ahead of time, then by the time you get there, it's better. I've heard. Okay? So, these are things that you're just not going to find everywhere, all these, you know, helpful pieces of advice. So, and then you have a much smaller transition when you are subject to the ACA, because now it's a difference between paying, you know, getting $25 back from the member or paying the whole thing at 100%. Final choice is to just waive the deductible, cover them at 100%, just like you'll have to when you are subject to the ACA mandates. Obviously, it has the most incentive for the member. It also creates the highest financial obligation to the plan. So if we do the copay, let's go back to that one. It could cause some confusion with the members because this is considered a surgical procedure. No other surgical procedures done in a doctor's office are ever covered under the copay. So that could be confusing to them. If it was between that and the deductible and coinsurance, though, I'm sure we can work through the confusion. It's obviously a lot better for the member for to pay 25 than what the rest would be picked up. Carriers have said no matter which option you choose, they will allow the amendment to be made to your plan with no change to the rates, your renewal rates that just started on 3-1. My advice is, as long as we could be doing something like this to the plan, our conversation really was structured around colonoscopies, but really I think we should change it to colorectal cancer screening, because that'll include that fecal occult blood testing and a sigmoidoscopy, which is not quite as thorough as a colonoscopy, but we might as well put it all in at the same time, because they're all preventive services that could really save the plan a lot of money in the long run. So if we flip to page 2, this is just sort of a precursor to the things that your plan will be obligated to cover once you are subject to the ACA guidelines. Colorectal cancer screening is about halfway down on the left-hand side. So that just sort of goes through the things again. But all of these other things will have to be added to your plan at the time that those, you know, that you are, that you change it to where you would be non-grandfathered.
If we would change the deductible, then we're subject to this.
Yeah, deductibles, copays, out-pocket, yep, any of those would probably kick you out of grandfather status.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then that's 2 pages. And then the last set is just your schedule of benefits so you can see how things are currently done. So
So what do you recommend? Because obviously, like I said, it ain't like there's 50 people going to be running out to get this done, but do you want to make it appealing to have people get it done to make sure that they're trying to prevent things? Mm-hmm. But then again, if you make it too appealing, because people should be conscientious about it, what's our parents going to do next year?
You know, it really shouldn't do much. I mean, it's, first of all, it's not until age 50. It's only every 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, I really don't think I don't think you can make it too appealing to really cause the plan to suffer.
There ain't
going to
be no
sucker
at the end, I can tell you.
And I won't schedule anything important for that afternoon at all. Don't make any important decisions today of that at all.
I like that option too.
The $25 copay?
Yeah.
I mean, then it fits in with the rest of your wellness and, you know, looks like it was meant to be there all along.
Just like anything else, you know, anything that we can prevent for
absolutely.
Employees and personnel, you know, I mean, that's a plus for insurance, and then you never know. Like she says, that thing is only every 10 years. I mean,
right.
And well, like 50. So.
Like Amy said, if, you know, you get colon cancer, and let's say you are going through the chemo and all that stuff, it's going to be way more expensive.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, back in 2012, depending on how far advanced it is, you could be looking at $300,000 a year.
Yeah.
So you guys are going to pick up the first 65 of that. It will definitely impact your premiums for the next year. It's the third leading cause of death by cancer. It's colon cancer. So early detection, though, it's really good.
I got to tell you, I had scheduled colonoscopy about a year ago, a year and a half.
You was my example. I didn't want to say
you should have talked to me.
I had everything in line ready to go, and then the day before, the doctor's office called and said, "You're not covered."
Mm-hmm.
So I said, "What's it going to cost me?" Well, $3,000 to $4,000, I think. I want a colonoscopy, or am I going to trade my motorcycle off for a new motorcycle? I don't want a motorcycle, obviously.
Good choice.
And I didn't want to spend that kind of money. I didn't want to do it in the first place.
Right. Nobody does. Nobody
but
wants to do it.
$25 copay, I think, will get people.
Mm-hmm.
It should do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, good idea.
All right. So we know we got a game plan.
I think so.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think you guys have to wait a little while until you can decide for sure. All you have to do is somebody just has to call and let me know which one you pick. We'll have the amendment drawn up, and then it'll have to be signed. It'll go retroactive to 3-1. Or I can, if you think you know, I could probably have them draw up 3. It's not like there's that many. It's just a change of deals, and then you would have your choice of which one you want to sign.
Yeah, we can't take action.
No, there's nothing. Yeah. There's nothing on the agenda here that says we can approve it.
Right.
So
So we got to wait till the next meeting, put it on there to approve it, then sign it, and then like I said, it's retroactive.
And then do you want? Okay, I'll talk to you about that wording too. If we want to add both the colonoscopy and
right, the other two
colorectal. Mm-hmm.
When we don't come on up,
yeah.
All right.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, appreciate you coming. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the information. Very good.
Very.
Okay, we're going to move on to D. Scott Boschetti, Dakota County Ag Society, updating the board on improvements being done at the fairgrounds, future improvements, and to request board approval for assistance from the road department with various projects around the fairgrounds.
Sure, don't look in chair.
Here's one for Scott.
Scott.
I'm up here with Scott.
There's only one.
Because I put together pictures and I want, and he told me.
We'll look at it.
Yeah, you're going to share it today. The first page, first of all, we're just here to let you guys know that we're thankful for the levy tax money that you guys approve every year. With that money, I thought we could update you a little bit on what the Ag Society and the Fair Board are doing for Dakota County and the 4-H'ers and everybody. So the first page, the Hubbard Junior Feeders, which I'm part of, I applied for a grant for $500 and was awarded that. And part of that, or some of that money, went towards our sheep barn last year. You can see here, we took out the gates. There were 64 gates. We had them redone and sturdier because they were flimsy. We had concrete poured in there. And then we had a new sign made for the sheep barn on the second page. You can see the walkways that we put in the sheep barn. And then at the rodeo arena, I don't know if any of you had been down there, but the crow's nest and the stairs to get to the crow's nest was very scary and shaky and old and falling apart. Huge liability issue. So we had a new crow's nest built and new stairway to the crow's nest built. And there's just some pictures there of the rodeo and stuff, how it looks today, or last year anyway. And then the horse barn, we installed 32 new horse stall fronts. Makes it nicer and easier and safer for the horses and the exhibitors or anybody who uses those stalls. Really dressed up our horse barn quite a bit.
Looks like, yeah. Good job.
And the next page is our show arena, the big barn in the middle of the fairgrounds there. We tinned the roof and added some lights and fans. And that really helped last year cool down the arena. It would get really hot in there in the summertime for the kids showing.
We'll move air through it by sealing up the ceiling so it would push air down. And clean it up, made it look nice.
Mm-hmm. And then the next page is just a couple pictures you can see. It's during the fair where our cow-calf barn is always very full. Our swine barns are full, and we had to add on extra cages and stuff for our poultry and rabbits because those are a huge pull to the fair. Lots of exhibitors there. We do have lots of things that need work on those buildings over the years. They're old, and you can see some of those pictures. We did do some fixing up last year, tried to paint and stuff, but it's hard to paint old wood. It just falls off pretty quick. So those are some of the things that we're looking at. We need to more paint and maybe tin some of the buildings too eventually. But the next page then is out behind our swine barns. The wash areas were falling apart. They were filling up with wasp nests and things like that. It was really kind of scary back there, so we tore all that concrete out and put new wash bays back there. And we also added some wash bay area to the backside of the large animal wash area, because it was getting, when the kids would go in with their sheep and their goats, and you'd also have horses and steers in there, it was dangerous for the little kids with their, or for anybody with their little goats and sheep in there. So we added an outside wash area for the smaller animals. And our exhibit hall, it's the big yellow building. We call that our exhibit hall. We added onto sheetrock to our kitchen area. We had to add some extra stuff so that it was legal for the food inspectors to come in so that they could use the kitchen area. So we updated that, and we added a concrete walkway to the exhibit hall there to make it more handicap accessible. And just the last page is just a couple fun things I added so you could see. I don't know if you guys have a chance. Come down to the fair this year and check it out.
You have chickens this year?
We can have chickens this year so far. So far, last year we had pictures of chickens. So, yeah, the Sioux Line ethanol plant was really good last year. Lisa, our fair manager, asked them for a donation, and they donated the scorn box, which was a huge hit for the kids at the fair. And kids' day, and we had mud volleyball and stuff. But so those are just some of the things that we've been doing to try to improve the fairground. And now I'm going to turn it over to Scott.
Yeah, I guess the main reason we came, we weren't looking to get more money or anything. We're looking for assistance on from the county's road department, more or less, I guess. We go to that state fair convention thing every year in January, and we get to talking with these other people, and they say about improvements to the practical track and the demo derby. We're going to have one of them this year, and we need to build burns and stuff for that. And they said, well, they all say that the county furnishes the equipment for that, and we, I guess, never really thought about it, but Bag Society is county owned, so I guess we're looking for assistance on that. As far as like a dozer, and we need to do some improvements to the tractable pit or track, I guess, haul some more dirt in. And at times we could use a blade down there to blade it off and haul a bunch more clay dirt in and raise the elevation of the track, try to stay out of the sand a little bit more. And we need to build a demo derby pit this year. Build some burns and haul some clay in so we got mud instead of sand that won't hold any moisture. And I guess we're looking for you guys to give Fred the authority to let us use, or not use equipment. I realize from insurance reasons we can't use the equipment, but to send a man down occasionally if we need some assistance with equipment. In the past, we've hired it done. We hire Luxes or somebody to come in and do that type of work. And
it's not very cost-effective.
Then you spend money out of your budget that really wasn't allocated for, and it takes away from something else if you're hiring it done. And I mean, it ain't going to be a big deal. We're not going to need equipment for 2 weeks. It might be a half a day.
Half a day.
How much time you thought it's
Yeah, it's not going to be a big deal, is it, Sam? Sam and Brett are on the egg side as well. That's why they're here.
They, you know, total throughout the year, would get a lot of stuff done.
One day
total. You know, it might be a couple hours here to do a little bit, but for the most part, it's going to, it won't take very much of the county's time.
Okay.
More of the equipment and operators that we need to have.
Mm-hmm. You know, we have trouble getting done what we need to get done.
Yeah, I realize that.
But, you know, this fair thing is a great thing. I appreciate you guys putting in your time, too. And it is a great thing for the county. I didn't know when you came in here, I didn't know if you were talking 10 working days or one or...
No, we don't have anything that big projected right now.
Billy and I talked about that.
Yeah, you know that. I mean, you know what...
We were going to give you Leon pies. Yeah. I don't know, with a shovel or something. We talked about for a little bit. But
that's a lot of the stuff we can coordinate where it works out of your schedule. If you got a blade down there, you know...
Okay.
You know, it's not like we can work something out with you. It's not like that. We take up time of... You
got to
be somewhere else.
Yeah, where it's just got done raining and we got to be out on the roads and they're drying up. Yeah, we can work something out. Mm-hmm. I think everybody should be agreeable upon that.
We could do a weekend deal maybe with an operator, you know, something like that.
Well, the guys are working 4/10 and they're off on Fridays. If we get maybe one of the operators to volunteer or something to help, that type of deal.
Fred, what do you think, guys?
Doesn't sound like any problem to me.
Okay.
Half day.
Yeah. Here and there, you know.
Our schedule and their schedule, we should work something out.
Okay.
I don't think you're asking for too much.
No.
I think it should be simple. Like I said, I'm just going to repeat what Bill said. We didn't know what you guys were thinking, you know, needing a bunch of work and this and that, but it sounds simple. Yeah, we all work together.
We can do by ourselves.
We
don't have the equipment.
Yeah, it's not a problem.
And we just...
It's for a good cause.
I'm for it.
Yeah, we felt we probably needed to start here rather than just go ask Fred, because he probably didn't have the authority to turn somebody loose without you guys giving it to him.
Just coordinate it with Fred then.
Okay.
Now let's go forward.
So we need a motion on that then?
Yes.
Do we need a motion?
Yeah, that's on there on the agenda. So.
Okay, well, let's. Anybody want to make a motion here, and we'll get second, and we'll get move on.
So move.
All right, we got a Billy B.
Second.
Second.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. So we got the fair board member.
Not anymore.
Prohibition Dick McNair.
Not anymore. You retired on us.
I retired.
You did? Are you done?
35 years.
Anyway, we got a motion in a second. You can call roll, John.
But I'm still going to be up there.
Yeah.
You need to be up there.
Ellie could run the blade.
There you
That's
go.
That's true. That's
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Sounds good. Thanks for all you guys
thank
do.
You. All right.
Yeah, appreciate thank it. Yeah, thank you.
Good time, guys.
Good luck.
Okay, we're going to move on to Nick Walsh, Health Department, requesting approval for the Dakota County Health Department Emergency Response Plan.
Hey, the copy of the plan has been sitting over in Joan's office all week. We did have some other stuff. We had a quarantine and isolation, but we removed that due to we found out we need a public hearing before we can approve that. We will be doing that over next week. This is the plan that the health department is going to work towards training and being prepared for our response to a public health emergency and our role in other emergencies such as a mass fatality incident or a pandemic flu or any other type of situation that we come across or if something were to take out this building, how is the health department going to continue on? Is there any particular section you guys would like us to elaborate on or anything like that? It is a quite lengthy document. I think it's 156 some pages.
I gave them all the index, so if they want to.
And I would have to say that yeah. I seen it laying on Joan's desk in there, and I admit I did not go through it. Okay, I mean, I don't know if there's anybody in this room that did go through it. Not saying that it's not important, and we're not saying, you know, that sorry. Which you think important, we don't. We think it's important as well, but I'm sure that it's put together.
Well, we'll see who gets help from the disaster.
Whatever. Well, that's where you delegate out to people, and you make sure they do their jobs. And I know with Tiffany involved, I don't know so much about you, Nick, yet, but I'm sure with Tiffany, I'm sure it's done properly.
This started out as a... like a 3-inch binder with multiple other stacks of papers that we had. We did get it down to this 1-inch binder. It's going off of state templates on a lot of it and still find more. We have an Ebola annex or adjustment that will be coming through the pipeline. We just got the planning document for that from the state that we will come back and add to that later on once we get that approved on that aspect. So there always will be some changes. We're going to work on some training with this plan, especially like the continuing of operations plan, how we're going to keep our offices going in a natural disaster situation or something that takes out this building.
There are parts in there where the commissioners, like if there is an operating, you know, the chairman is and one other person from the commission is tied into all that.
There is rules for everybody, yeah. Kind of things that how we go in. Especially when we get into like quarantine and isolation, we work with the sheriff's department on stuff. There's a part of that in here. The separate quarantine and isolation policy regulations will be brought forth later on. We're going to do a public hearing with the health board before we can bring them forward. That was a state recommendation that we needed to do. That was pointed out to us on them particular things.
I'm sure there's way more scenarios out there than what we could possibly imagine what could probably happen, not a doubt in my mind.
Is Dina's office, is she involved in any of this?
Some input, more discussion, just the emergency management in general. This is more specific for just the health department. And we have, like my position, we have a lot of the state preparedness on the state level that we work with, and we have a region. We have several different ERCs across the region. The Northeast out of Wayne and Elkhorn Logan Valley out of Wisner that we've worked with seeing their plans to help develop our own ones to move forward with ours. I believe she has seen most of it. I don't know her opinion on it or whatnot, but we've went through it as a health department and figured out stuff that we and we cut out some stuff that the state had said, oh, plan, but that's something that we don't, a service we don't provide and a service we would not be able to provide in an emergency situation. We tried to be realistic on what we would be able to do with the 8 people that we have on staff, and what we do with volunteers, and what services we're going to be able to provide for different things and whatnot on there. Any other questions on it?
Okay, so the next step is you guys got to get it in the paper, correct?
That's the quarantine and isolation. That will be separate completely. We'll be bringing that up to you guys hopefully next month or so, sometime in April. These, we are good to do an approval of this plan as the official emergency response plan for the health department.
So moved.
I'll make a motion to approve the request for the emergency management response plan.
Okay, we got a motion. Did you second that, Tony?
Second.
Okay, Tony, second it. Will you call roll, please, John?
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
And listen, Nick, I would like to look it over. I just, to be honest with you, last week I just haven't had a chance, and I know you do a fabulous job.
We will have a copy. It's always going to be on file here with the health department and my office downstairs. The intent is that we will have a copy with Deanna and maybe another copy someplace else so that we have it spread out, so that we always have a copy available. If something takes out one copy, we'll have others. There will also be an electronic version that we have of it. Just going to say a little quick deal. This will be the last month that I am with Dakota County Health Department. I am taking a position with the state effective April 4th.
Oh, congratulations.
Good deal.
Yep. It's been an exciting nearly a year here. I'm glad that we have a plan and a good basis going forward. I hope that I left the position in a good spot for somebody coming up. I strongly believe that emergency management is something important on all levels and for all individuals to be engaged in, as we all have some role in disaster planning and in the disaster activity itself. We never know when that disaster could happen. We never know where it's going to happen. That's why we plan for all hazards and prepare us the best we can. We can't be 100% prepared, but
Right. Are you moving back down south then?
This will mean I won't have the commute from Omaha like I currently do. Up here, I've been commuting every week for the last almost year, back and forth up to here for that. And this one will just be a commute to Lincoln every day with the emergency management on the state level.
From Omaha?
From Omaha.
Yep. A little bit closer.
Yeah, a little bit closer, and I get to see my wife every day. So.
Yes, well, good. Well, good. Yeah, well, thanks for everything you've done. And, thank you. Good luck to you. Hope it works out for you.
Good job.
I can get your signature here real quick before I forget.
Okay, we're going to move on to miscellaneous here. Did we do call roll and all that, didn't we? Yes?
Yes.
Yes, we did. Miscellaneous, Craig Kellogg, road superintendent, road report.
February 28th through March 12th. 362.5 hours road maintenance, 2.75 hours overtime. Gravel haul, we have 2,861 tons of aggregate. Sign installation, 8 hours, 6 signs. 12 road concerns, grading, G Avenue, 260th Street, I Avenue, Knox Boulevard, Oakdale, 220th, gravel, Inwood, Lyberg, and Lake Iwana, hard surface potholes, but most of the complaints, Lake Avenue, Old Sawmill Road, and Monona. Been blessed with some pretty good weather here lately.
Yeah, I think road shaped up good.
Yeah, we still have a few soft foils. Frost boils that are soft spots out in the country, but all in all, like I say, it's glad we haven't had an abundance of moisture.
Definitely had our moments there for a while, but it's getting better. I just want to bring everybody up to the sign situation that Fred and I were looking at on Elgin and Highway 20. It's a little bit of the road's a little bit of a
angle.
45 angled right there. For whatever reason, there's been 5 wrecks there, I think, in the last 5 months.
Really?
Yes, and so signage is sufficient. I mean, you know, coming from New Highway 20 across, you know, heading north, you know, there's the sign there, and this.
I mean,
it's just been, for whatever reason, I think, and it's really easy to catch that blind spot. But I think if the last few wrecks, people just kind of like ran the stop sign, you know, thinking that I don't know what they're thinking. But needless to say, you know, you pull up there. You know, I've always told my kids, you got to look twice because that angle that you're at.
you can catch that car in that blind spot right there.
And there are some trees right there that I think maybe need to be trimmed back a little bit, too.
Right there in that ditch area, yeah. But needless to say, we're going to try to sign it a little bit heavier.
Because those trees, when you're coming across there, if you're headed south, those trees, they block your view down the highway. You can see at an angle, you can only see part of that highway.
You
almost got to get your nose right out there to...
And I know this has been, an ongoing accident place, and thank God no one's been, there's no fatalities or anybody's been majorly hurt, but, a couple of years ago I said to Fred, I said, people come flying past us, CNH and Stapletons and what have you, and they're going at a pretty good clip of trying to slow the speed down out there. But to do that, an engineer said he's going to cost you $5,000-$7,000, and then there's no guarantees, so 55. And everybody's, honking through there pretty good. Aren't they, Chris?
No fatalities. You hit them now right on the head yet.
Yeah, yet. But anyways, I just want to bring everybody up to speed on that. That he's going to put some double signage out there, get some bigger stop signs coming for it, just so maybe...
So do we really have to do a traffic study out there to reduce that in that business area? I think we need to check into the business aspect of it, because there's Stapleton... There's Garvin's and CNH and Stapleton's on both sides. And that's kind of a business area there. It kind of isn't a highway anymore. It's more of a business road to that point where Scott's talking about.
Mm-hmm. I'll look into it, see if it is.
We have a public hearing.
40 right there, doesn't it?
Have a public hearing, and we can drop that down to 35.
Well, I'll look to South Sioux to see how it is zoned. It's all business, not agriculture.
No. It doesn't slow down there.
Maybe you're right on the right path.
It's way down there.
It is zoned business.
I'm looking into it.
Yeah, because it...
That is too fast.
It is. 55 in there is too fast. So...
Now, why don't you do a little research on that, just see. But like I said, I guess I was all gung-ho, maybe getting her slowed down to 40, 45, but once I heard that, if it was going to take a study from an engineer to go out there and set in a car or some and charge that kind of money, it just didn't make sense.
Just check it out, see what it takes. It is annexed into the city jurisdiction. Like Fred said, I think we need to look into it as on the...
Well, I'm sure that's probably zoned as business through there.
Oh, well, it's got to be.
It's got to have commercial.
Yeah,
I think you're on. I think that's an excellent idea. Right.
Okay, well, thanks, Fred.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Okay, you guys ready for this? Tiffany Paulson, Health Director, Quarterly Report. Everybody pay attention here.
I don't have a whole lot to talk about this time. We had our semi-annual meeting in January. I missed you guys. I haven't seen you in a while. Non-Medicare visits, we had 216 visits to 15 patients from July to December 2015. Immunization clinics, we saw 846 kids from July to December and gave just over 2,000 vaccinations. We saw 158 adults and administered 496 vaccinations in that time as well. Income from July to June of last year, a lot was grant driven. We had $1,855 from our West Nile grant, $16,500 from our immunization grant. Bioterrorism was $16,258. Our minority health grant was $16,431. We just got reimbursed for a Ebola grant, which was about $5,000. Radon grant was $1,500. Office visit revenue was at $904. Flu shots at $2,400. And Medicaid reimbursements was at $5,600. For a total of $60,000. Just a little under $60,000 last year from July to December. grant updates. Bioterrorism, we submitted our second quarter reports for a total of $9,700 in reimbursements. As you heard from Nick earlier, we finished our emergency response plan, so that was really good to cut that in half so we didn't have such a lengthy document, although it's still pretty substantial. We're working with long-term care facilities, our HAM operators, mass fatality planning, Ebola planning. Now we have the Zika stuff on the radar. So lots of phone calls and lots of plans. But nothing too bizarre. Immunization, we submitted fourth quarter reports. as you heard, we are vaccinating just every 6 months about 1,000 kids, about 1,000 kids with about 2,500, 2,000 shots. Every 6 months, we got $3,600 in reimbursement for the fourth quarter. West Nile virus wrapped up in December. The Minority Health grant, all three of our community health workers have been doing a really great job. They've seen 120 unduplicated clients over the first two quarters. Started to offer numerous health classes, both at the library and our office, in numerous areas. A lot of the focus is on prediabetes, diabetes, and obesity awareness. And so those are the focuses. They've also started doing some wellness case management and encouraging clients to set some health goals. I just submitted our second quarter process and budget report for that grant, which was for about $22,000. Radon grant, we had Carol from UNL Extension just took down our radon grant that we had at the library, but we had some good feedback. We dispersed, I think, at our office about 25 tests, and Carol dispersed even more than that at her office, and so it's had a really great turnout, and now we've started to call back some of the individuals who ran tests to see what that follow-up is going to look like. Ebola, as Nick said, we just got our plan, so we're going to be working on an Ebola plan that's going to subsidize that ERP. Strategic planning, the health board officially approved a new mission statement. That was one of the goals that I was working on. And so the new mission statement that they approved at our January meeting was, the mission of the Dakota County Health Department is to facilitate the achievement of optimal health and social well-being of the public. The department encourages and supports the promotion of healthy living through education, prevention, protection, and surveillance. So we're pretty excited to have a mission that everyone can kind of work around and work towards and, you know, encompass everything. Nick said he was leaving, so that's unfortunate. So I have a job opening for an ERC. Home health-wise, the health board decided after some reflection on revenue and expenses for our home health division that we, over 2016, we're going to start to phase out our home health program so we can focus our efforts on some bigger grants that the states have available that we can do some more outreach to the community, because right now we're only serving about 15 patients. And it's costing us about $20,000 annually. And so we can use that time in some other places and some more grant opportunities to do some better outreach for the community. So over the next year here, we're going to start to work on how we're going to phase that out, what that strategy is going to look like for those 15 people so they have places to go and people that can also aid in that.
You're just going to shut them off.
You're
gonna
yeah, right. Yep. So other than that, I don't have much else to share. Do you have any questions?
We met a stormwater board, and they have funds for spraying for mosquitoes, and ours is it's West Nile, I think is what they're going after, too.
Okay.
The Zika virus.
Okay.
So they've got some monies, but it's not a huge amount, and we were wondering if we could go into one big pot. Gene Martin does the spraying, and it costs X amount of dollars to get him in the air, just in permits, I guess, and pool that money and do a larger, or maybe add another spray to that.
Yeah, definitely. I think we get about $2,500 a year for West Nile, and so we, in the past, have just done lots of outreach and stuff at the fairs and things like that, but we would definitely be interested in coupling with you guys to do an extra spray.
And if you could do that, then maybe when the fair's on, that we could get Gene in the air and do a mosquito spray then, because I know that they have issue with that down mm-hmm. there. So.
Yeah, so who do I need? Do I need to be in contact? Are you going to get me contact on that? Or
Joan, who do you think?
Bob Livermore?
Yeah. Bob Livermore. He's the public works director for South Sioux City, and he knows about it. We visit with him. And
okay.
And then the grant director is Tammy Bailey?
Yeah.
She's got the money.
Oh, yeah, she's a great asset.
Yeah. So.
Wonderful. Any other questions for me?
Good report.
Thank you. Appreciate your activity. Thank you.
Good report.
You know, I just have fun, too, when I tell you to get ready, right?
Yep, that's right.
I know you talk fast.
I got a lot of stuff to share.
Joan yelled at me the other day about talking fast, because I said something to her about something, and she's like, "You do talk fast, guys." Okay, anyways, let's move on here. Thank you, though, Tiffany. Let's go to Carol Larvik, Extension Educator, UNL, requesting purchase of a new copier. Cost over
$50,000.
What?
I'm just kidding, $5,000.
I think he needs new glasses. Maybe we should talk about different a little more.
Yeah. I think he's got the Zika virus.
Well, the last couple of years, we've been kind of limping along with our copy machine. We have the copy people out fairly often to fix it. This would be an example of what kind of, did I give you enough?
Yep, we're good.
Okay. This is an example of what it is, which is basically a drum issue, and they're having more problems actually getting the drum to replace it. So we did ask the copy machine guy what would be a potential another copy machine that would be similar to the copy machine we have now but newer, not breaking down so often. We didn't want to spend any more money than we currently spend. Our current copy machine is 9 years old. Our monthly service fee plus overage averages for the last 12, for 2015, $352.61 a month. So the new copier that he suggested, as we talked through it, you can see that's on the yellow sheet. That's $8,366 with a service and supplies contract of $175.50 per month. I did ask him for three options on this copy machine. I know that saving money is important to you, as it is to most all of us. So one, the first option, all the options would be a dollar buyout at the end of the thing. As you can see, we keep copy machines quite a bit. If possible, we had it 9 years, and usually the average is 5 years, I believe is what he told us. So the first one is to split that payment over a 2 years budget time, which would be a little over $4,000 each year. I do know that this year in my budget I can probably at least do $3,000. I may be able to do a little more, so I would need some help if I were to do that, to split it over 2 years. One of the other options that I asked him for was that $3,000 that I would have this year to put towards it, and then the rest in payments over 3 years. And so you can see that would be $193 a month for 3 years, which would be $6,948, which interest on that would be $1,582. The other option is in payments, which would be $196 a month for 5 years, and that interest would be $3,394. So I wanted to come to you with the need of a new copy machine. At this point in time, even if we did pay it in payments, it would be no more than what we are currently paying for what we are using. So I don't know if you have any ideas, questions, thoughts.
Did he have a lease?
We didn't talk about lease because we've usually kept our copy machine long enough that a lease doesn't pay correctly. I mean, it would cost us more in the long run.
I just bought one and it was about the same price.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a lease deal and it was very reasonable.
And the lease for how many, 5 years?
5 years, I believe. Okay. And then just turn it in and get a new one, start all over again. I ended up buying it. I didn't go with the lease, but I thought it was pretty attractive.
And why didn't you choose it since it was attractive?
I just wanted to make one payment.
Okay.
But for your office, I don't know. I thought it would be not a bad thing.
Okay.
And that was through Perkins. They have a new name now, but who's this through?
Office Solutions.
Yeah, that's who it is.
Okay.
Do you deal with Chip?
No. Mark O'Net.
Who?
Mark O'Net.
Okay, Chip is my salesman. Same company. Probably the same company.
I think Joan would be able to shed a little light on this. I mean, she knows. I mean, you kind of deal with all the different things that goes on, and I mean, obviously, you've gotten
you
your.
Can talk, maybe we can send an email out to the different offices. Every office does their own. There's some lease purchases, but like you say, if
there's some you don't want to.
Yeah.
What's that? There's you don't want.
There's different grades of copy machines, and. You don't want to get the middle or the lower grade because you'll have problems fairly soon.
Well, this lease payment include a maintenance agreement also, and that's what made it attractive.
Well, I'm sure there's unstructured ways you can probably buy one, I'm thinking.
They're high maintenance, aren't they?
Yes, they are. You definitely need a service and supplies part of it. I know that we've used them for whatever copies we've had ever since I've been here in the 80s for service and supplies.
What's everybody's recommendation? What do you want to do? You know,
like, well, you know, like Bill's talking on that lease. If she's got $3,000 in her deal that she could expand, that would ease her money up because she'd only be making a lease payment. And if they got product and maintenance on it, that would help you there too.
Right. The $175.50 a month would be the flat fee that we would pay, and that's the service. If the drum breaks or something happens.
That's all additional, isn't it, Carol?
That would be there. The other payment would be the $193 for the actual copy machine. So we're talking two different.
Oh, you're talking two payments.
Right, but they're combined.
Yeah, I didn't do the service and supplies thing. We just did the supplies separately.
Right.
So my lease payment would have been maintenance and the lease for the machine.
Okay.
No supplies.
We go through enough with supplies and works out really well to do that.
So $350, $261 a month.
This is what we had to do. Kim wants to look at the state statute to make sure if it's anything over $5,000 between five and $20,000, we might have to have three bids, and
okay.
Then that's possible.
Three estimates,
whatever.
Anything over $5,000, you're going to need three estimates.
Between five and twenty.
Okay.
Formal bids.
Three formal bids?
Informal.
So basically what we need to do then is have you...
Reach out to two other places. Okay.
And then that way it'll maybe kind of look... You'll be able to broaden a lot of your different options. And
okay.
Listen, we know that you're savvy with money, okay? And
okay.
Bring the three bids back to us, and then we can make a decision, mm-hmm. and then we can talk about it, and then maybe at that point in time, as you look at two other different people, maybe you'll get a little more educated, and so won't we, and then we can make a sound decision.
Okay.
Fair statement?
That is
if you need it, I mean, obviously you need it, you use it,
yes.
So it's going to have to happen. So, unfortunately, we got 2 weeks that we're going to have to...
Is your copier working right now?
It is working right now. We're doing a lot. We have the Sioux Line Garden Show coming up. We have robotics going on. We have meetings.
Since the season.
I bet we use the meeting room over there at least 4 to 5 times a week. It was filled on Saturday with kids doing stuff, all sorts of things going on. So we're using it a lot, but it is working at the moment.
Well, I think that's probably what we need to do is get bids us over $5,000 to get us some more bids.
Okay.
Look on the bright side. You get to come see us in 2 weeks.
I do get to come see you in 2 weeks.
Yes.
I hope you'll come see us also.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kara.
Okay, we're going to move on to D here. Designate board member to participate in the Washington, D.C. fly-in. Now, there's two different dates. Obviously, the one that Tony's always gone to is April, and I think Tony or Joan will be able to shed a little light on, and then the Nebraska one's May 18th and 19th. And I remember last year, I think that Lori Warner kind of pointed out that the Nebraska one would make more sense for us. It's a lot less money. You don't have a $500 steak dinner. I think it's a $20 cheeseburger. Okay?
That's good.
It's a $20 cheeseburger.
That's what it is.
Well, whatever it is. But anyways... I don't know what the new dinner is, but anyways, let's talk about it, I guess, and see if it's something that...
I will, personally, myself, I've been gone for the last 3 years, and I would like some of the members' opinion on this. It's well worth it, and I guarantee you, if they don't see a representation from Dakota County this year, you know, they're going to ask for it, you know, because they're really pleased to see us, to see me there and see the representation of the county. But I do like the idea going with the Nebraska delegation instead of the tri-state delegation because less money, number one. Number two, you want to see you senators and congressmen, you know, that's your goals. You don't want to see Iowa, South Dakota. It's nice to meet all them guys, you know, I don't get it wrong. But it's more expensive.
Yeah. So what would be, when Lori said this would be more beneficial for us, exactly explain when you go, the people that you meet, and then the people that we'd be meeting in May versus the... I mean, we're still going to be dealing with the senators in Nebraska, correct? In May.
Correct.
the people that matter to us. You know, instead of going with all the Sioux City Council members and then the city, with the city of South Sioux City, they wouldn't be involved in this, I wouldn't think.
Well,
is this more, it was more designed for counties?
I'm not too familiar with Chamber of Commerce or the Nebraska delegation. They go from here. I haven't had a chance to visit with Lori. I think it's worth it. Let me tell you, from my point of view, with the tri-state delegation, that there's times that, let's say, for instance, a delegation like to meet with Steve King. What do I want to see Steve King for myself? Right. In reality, so at that particular time, I invest in my time to visit Adrian Smith, the senators, you know, the or people, and that's when I met. With the tri-state delegation, on Thursday mornings, they called the Nebraska breakfast. We had breakfast with our senators and congressmen on Thursday. And it's a great opportunity to meet with them and challenge your concerns, so you know, your needs for the area and what have you. As far as Nebraska delegation, I don't know. I mean, I really have no experience. But I think it's well worth it to try, since it's, what, $1,000 different?
It's half the money. Yeah, it's about $1,000. Yeah, $1,000
is change. So it's worth it.
Yeah, it's half the money.
How long have they been doing the Nebraska delegation? Forever, probably.
Well, I think we meet the congressmen and senators, you know, and what did she say, Jones? Did you get a little bit of information?
She didn't give a whole lot of information out on that.
It gives you the agenda. And
Oh, right here, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
The breakfast, and then
Senate Ruth at choose a recent congressman office. See, looks like this more open to really see our people. They want that we really care to see it.
It's focused on strictly
focused
Nebraska.
On strictly Nebraska.
Yeah.
And that's my point, you know. I mean, and it's true. You go with the tri-state delegation, they involve the principal from the school, the business sector from tri-state area, Iowa, Nebraska, and South Dakota. So, I mean, that's a lot of people. And I think it'd be nice to explore that.
And I don't know if this is all in Nebraska, if we'd be going with Omaha Lincoln.
That's what I'm saying. We need to. It's still time to think about it, but I will suggest that we continue going, since we're not going to be visible on the tri-state delegation on April. Let's go in May.
You know, the beautiful thing is, I know that April you was going to be tied up, and we know that you're a veteran.
What are you trying to tell me?
Well, I'm just trying to say that maybe I don't know if anybody. I'm sure that
I know. I'd love to go, but that time frame of April and May, you know, that's the 30 days where we get our crops in the ground.
Yeah, I know that's always been a problem with you and Bill, and I totally understand.
What don't you guys think about it? If you don't find anybody, yeah, I will go. But I would like to send somebody else, really. But
how about you? Do you want to go? You're not farming anymore.
No, I just thought, yeah, Tony, like, if we go together, I wouldn't mind that.
Well,
at least somebody could tell
me. One room, save some money.
I mean, that's up to you, but it'd be nice. Especially in May. I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't go in April.
Two of us?
No, we can't.
We can't afford it.
I would say the whole point is just trying to save money.
Exactly.
Yeah. I gotta save the money.
If we're going to save money, not going to tri-state, now we're going to go, both of us.
Yeah,
we're going to
it'd be a little spendy.
It's going to cost another $1,000. So. I mean, you know. Well, let me think it over then.
Let me tell you what else we can do. I don't really excited about going, but I think it'd be a good experience for me because it's different people and different, you know, I've never been to that one. I'm willing to pay half of my expenses. You know, let's say it costs $1,100, I pay $550 myself. Let's put it that way.
Okay,
but think about it.
April, I wouldn't go.
Well, let's just put it back. Everybody knows what we want to do, and let's talk about it next week, and we'll put it back on there.
Okay.
And we'll make a decision at that time.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on. Are we done with that discussion? Hope so. I know we're going to do a jail tour here, make a quarterly visit, I guess. So, but let's first of all go to let's do the commissioner committee reports.
I had a merit commission meeting last week. We had 9 candidates for positions in the jail. And all 9 candidates, I mean, we tried to rate them, and they were all excellent choices. I'm sure you got to look at them. And really great people. And we explained to them, you know, I don't know how many openings you had, but they'll be on file for a year. And they were good, good people. Very qualified, so I was impressed with that. But to have 9, I thought that was quite a few. Normally you have 4 or 5, but we did 9 that night.
It didn't cost us nothing to advertise.
Yeah, it did. And then we had a safety meeting today. I'm going to let Dick talk about it. Scott pulled me out. We had a road meeting with Fred. So,
well, everybody's kind of pleased because we've got cameras up now. And anything that happens, it takes pictures. And we can send the pictures in to NERMAN. They know what's happening. But that's on that part. But another deal they brought up today was what they would like to do is have name tags. And we got to bring it up, and we got to put it on the agenda. But what it'll say like Tony, no last name, maybe, the way they talked about it, wasn't it, Joan? But it'd just say Dakota County on it.
Are you talking like I don't say it right, my kids make fun of me, the
lanyard deal?
Yeah, I call it a lanyard.
No. Oh, she's gone. She had it on hers. Hers is up and down. This will be this. It'll be
a card like this.
Yeah, there it is. It'll be sideways, though, when they print it. But anyway, they just wanted to know what's going on. And then they brought up about a deal. If you had, like me, I'm a dirt penicillin. Well, they thought that. Well, then we said, no, we're not going to put that on.
Put what on there?
Well,
like if you're allergic to...
If you're allergic to something. But we're not going to do that. We're just going to put their first name in Dakota County on it.
You lost me for a second. I'm sorry. You lost me for a second. Like, Dick penicillin? What the hell?
Well, no, but I'm just saying they wanted to put on there if you was allergic to something.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
But
you know,
then,
the name tags is a good idea just for around the courthouse anyways. And then you know, everybody wears them. You know, and I don't know what the expense would be to make them up. I know Deanna was on that kick at one time that had all the elected officials, you know, or maybe even more than elected officials.
Did get them.
Yeah, I have mine yet, but I don't know what I get. Okay,
and this would not go through Deanna.
Right. No, this would just be...
Chris has the machine, and
nice little
name. Yeah,
Joan got it for
us
for Christmas. That's a nice little name.
But I just brought it up to put it on the agenda so we can talk about it, see what I want to do with it. Okay?
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, you guys keep us, updated what happens next.
We had a stormwater meeting, and there was one of the sweepers, a tenant sweeper that was on there, and it's a small one. And they decided that they're putting it out for sale. And if Dakota City's interested in it, you know, they'd get a third off of whatever the asking price is. And then we talked about spraying for mosquitoes. There's a camera that it'll fit into a 6-inch storm sewer pipe. If the county road department or, you know, I don't know if Jackson would be able to use that or not, or Hubbard, if they needed to check the pipe to see if it was plugged or what was plugging it. There's all kinds of things out there. I'm sure that the city of South Sioux City, being the stormwater, and the county's part owner in it, I would think that those villages would be able to use it.
Well, Homer had that.
And the guys from South Sioux City are willing to go out and run.
Oh, good deal.
So but they're working on some vans and things like that, as always.
All right, well, good. Thank you. Tony, you want to talk about LEC?
What happened in LEC?
We were kind of skeleton crew. Everything's going well with Greg.
No, we, they told us about the three consoles they installed, you know, and they give us a tour to their facility, and they really did an excellent job, and they're going to, that dispatch is really going to benefit from our decision that what we did to the law enforcement center. So it was very nice, and we talk about the possibility to, instead of meet every month, we can meet every 3 months, you know, because there's times that there's hardly anything on the agenda for us to show up, but that's something that we need to think about in the near future, right now with the new consoles and stuff like that, so we need to meet on a monthly basis.
The claims are pretty much,
it's pretty much
the same, you know, month after month. They know what's
so chances are that we want to meet three on a quarterly basis instead of every month.
But and I think, what did they say, by, was it June, Chris? Let's see. They should have all the new equipment in?
The hardware.
Just,
yeah. The server and all that stuff's already there. And
right.
Bringing deliveries from Motorola for radios and stuff, sure. But the hardware should be. I don't think that includes any furniture or anything.
You know, when Greg starts talking, you know, he starts. It's kind of gibber. A lot of it's gibber to us. You know,
it's not gibber. It's,
well, I mean, he's intelligent about it. It's gibber to him.
Way beyond.
Yeah.
Excellent. That's a good thing.
Okay, listen, does everybody have this map? I just want to explain this real quick here. I think I've talked to a lot of you a little bit verbally on the phone about this here. But Bruce Davis, I kind of made a point to him after this Bennett Avenue coming this 50 feet off of here. If you remember the last meeting, that guy kind of made us look like fools and we didn't know what was going on. So I told him, I said, somebody needs to be appointed from this board so we know what's going on. When you guys have your meeting with, you know, Ho-Chunk and the city and the school. So Bruce, the mayor invited me to the meeting on Friday, and I met with, I think it was Dennis and one of their attorneys and the school and the mayor and Lance Hedquist. But what's happened here, if you look at this map, you can see where these trees are down here. This is to the south, and I-29 or Interstate 29 here is running this way. So the Bennett Avenue is right here where this green is. Mm-hmm. And as you can see how the road, it comes off the 50 feet easement area, what they're talking about. And it comes down through here. And as it comes right down here on this page, this is 29th Street. And see, and if you keep going this way, it goes right to the Freedom Park. So what's happened is where this green is, those are wetlands. Okay. So wetlands could take probably, that is a total 1 acre of wetlands. And that could take up to a year for the several different agencies to look it over and to determine that we can move those wetlands, because whatever wetlands you pull out, you got to double it and put it somewhere else. Okay, so what they talked about was of starting down on Riverview down there by the Freedom Park and running Veterans Drive and just bringing it to an end right here off 29th, which in my eyes I thought it was silly, because, and I think the Ho-Chunk people did as well, because they'd like to have a connection instead of people down there driving to a dead end and then, you know, have to turn back around. So maybe possibly hooking it to 29th Street here. Because I think if I'm not mistaken, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but this project here, that 1.25 miles is like a $4 million deal. And I did hear the number that it was $1.5 million to do 29th Street. Okay. So with that said, I said, you know, all of us were sitting in a room. I says mainly to Bruce, and who else was in the city that was in there? Somebody else, or another councilman. I said, what are your council people thinking? Because they keep saying, we got to talk to city council. And he's like, well, we got to talk to city. I was like, listen, don't tell me that you guys don't have little conversations on the side of knowing what you're going to, you know, what you're going to do. Is it a go, would it be a go or not? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So they said, well, you know, they think, you know, roads need to be, other roads need to be taken care of as well. Well, it's springtime. Roads need to be taken care of everywhere, pretty much. But I think it's important, and I think even Dennis and that, is her name Lexi?
Lenny Nelson? Oh, no.
No, Dennis, the CFO, CFO for Ho-Chunk, he thought it was important that they connect that. So just an update of what's going on down there, that it's not going to be a one-phase 1.25 miles down there because of the wetlands. And it, like I said, it's just it's agricultural wetlands. So you think it would be rather, you know, simple. It's not like it's cattails or, you know, or it's... So that's where we're at.
And I met with Rod Koch, and we thought that all throughout that this paving was going to pave Bennett Avenue, and it's not. So that was going to be part that was just going to be there. So I don't know where he's at with it, but I told him we'd like him to annex it and get that off of the county roads.
Yeah.
we have to drive so far just to get there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and you know, I told them, you know, that if they had an issue with snow or whatever, of course we're going to come in there and help them, but they've got just as much equipment, and they've got half of it paved anyway.
Right.
You know. Yeah. So.
But, so anyways, that's what's going on there. And then also, I don't know who wants, if any of us want to talk about, we went over, Joan, Rick, and I went over and met with some people from Wayne State and Pam Miller over at the college on Friday for an hour. And they wanted to get, and I know Tony's probably met with them. Did you or did you not? The people from Northeast over there, I thought they said they talked to you.
Yeah, I met with them. Yeah, I did.
They just wanted to get some input as, you know, business leaders, elected officials, you know, county representatives, city, of what they can do to try to increase
enrollment
over there that they want to try to figure out.
What this area needs as far as trades and things like that.
It looks like we need heavy equipment operators training.
Yeah. That's what we told them.
We have a hard time getting operators.
Right. Fred and I are working on it. We reached out to Sheldon, Iowa School, and they do the heavy equipment. And we actually talked to one of the guys there. And
good.
And then Fred sent up a job application or job description of what we were looking for. And they've got some graduates coming out of there. It's just we can snag them, you know.
Yeah, I think that's very interesting on follow-up to get the enrollment increase in many areas, you know, which is, I think, a fantastic interest is on that part, you know, because they come here and they spend 2 days and invited everybody on the community, the school, the county, the city, the citizen, the business, everybody. So I think it's great for that.
So anyways, okay, any other committee?
Did you have anything to report on the legislation meeting, John, or no?
Vern talked on the Proposition A and B for the school. Proposition A will pass 50% plus one, and Proposition B will pass 50% plus one. If A doesn't pass, B won't pass. He said that they had excellent feedback from the community to go ahead with this. And then Simcoe was there and talked about transportation and what they offered and their grants. And
if they put that on the ballot, you're talking about the bond.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Are they going to go out and educate people about what it's going to? Okay.
They better get to educating.
They better get going on it.
They want to go door to door, and they had me do a deputy registrar training one evening and try to get some extra registration tables out in front of Hy-Vee or Walmart or
will that be
at a high
May
school
ballot
event
or November?
May
10th.
Yeah.
It's on the May 10th ballot.
How much was it total? Like 37 mil? 37.9?
Wow. There's some money, man.
That's a lot of coin. You know what? And I know that a lot of schools need to be updated and this and that, but I don't know. Good luck. Good luck. Okay, anything else? If not, let's go to mail emergency business. If there is none, we got public comments. Please when you come up to the podium, you can state your name and address for the record, please.
Bill Wiseman, 2515 Kennesaw Road, Hubbard, Nebraska. A lot of you guys see me here a lot of times, and it's always been good news, or bad news. But give the devil his due, this time it's on the other side of the coin. I want to talk about putting those tubes in on Kennesaw Road. That goes across my property, the creek. And about using county help to do it. I hung my head when I first heard that. But I'll tell you what, I saw Mr. Byrode operating that machine of his, and he knows how to operate it. The only time he made me cringe was when he was using that machine to tamp the dirt down. I could just see every bearing and pivot point in that thing just shuddering. But anyway, Mr. Byrode and Mr. Keeman knew what they were doing. They worked well together. I watched quite a bit because I was checking cows every three times a day down there. I don't know how many of you were there when they pulled that bridge up. They pulled it up from the sides. When they pulled it up, I thought the bridge was going to completely collapse. The way it was, they were about a 45-degree angle. It was that eaten out underneath. But they did get it done. They got it out of there, and they started getting everything else out. But of course, they took my fence out and everything on both sides of the creek. But they finally they got the tubes in there. I didn't get to see them set those. But I looked at them, and they were just as plumb as you could ever want. Close together, the corners all matched. That's when they brought the pneumatic packer down and started doing it, and then the walk-behind packer and that. From there on, it was just a matter of hauling dirt and getting a pack. But I just want to tell you, those guys did a great job. Now, as far as money saving, you know, I'm sure they did it a whole lot cheaper than what the bid was on the job. You might want to consider just making them separate little crew. Anyway, is county going to replace my fence? And when? But they tore out.
Fred, can you answer any? I guess I don't. I've been out there, and I see them, and they were just on the completing it, and they did do a nice job. I agree.
Yeah. Are they going to take out the brush and the trees and that?
What's our plan there, Fred?
Usually when we do a road project like that, we have the landowner take out their own fence if they want to keep it again or anything like that. When there's brush and stuff like that, we will take it out. We usually ask the landowner if he will replace his fence. I don't know how much is out there, Bill. You're very cooperative, but in the end, we'll look at it and see if we can get in for it. I do not have anything planned, but I will look into it and see how much needs to be replaced.
Are you using that fence, Bill, to hold cattle in?
Yes, yes.
How many feet is there, Bill? Just roughly 100 feet?
20 feet on one side and maybe 100 feet on the other side.
Yeah. I thought there was a new fence put on the west side. Is that Eric's?
That was Eric's.
Okay.
That's Eric's.
Yeah, Fred and I were just out there, and they did do an excellent job on that.
They did.
Very, very nice.
Yeah.
You see, our plan is we would like to maybe try to, we're looking at budget time coming up, we'd like to hire a couple extra people to maintain, and then just like what we did last year with that project, you know, with your Keeman and your Byrode and other people trying to do more projects on our own so we don't have to bid so much out.
Yeah.
Because this is the deal. We got all of the equipment now.
Yeah,
everything's up to
snuff.
We got semis. We got, you know, we got everything we need. I mean,
we're just short of manpower.
Yeah,
they knew how to run the equipment they had out there. They did an excellent job of it.
It's good to hear.
Good to hear. Appreciate you coming in.
So, anyway, I just wanted to check and see about
it. And then Fred will get with you. Fred will get with you on your fast steps.
Okay. But again, it was a good decision on the part of commissioners.
Hey, listen, thanks for coming in and sitting for the last hour and 40 minutes. And telling us that.
Yeah, especially I gotta be in West Point to an ag meeting here in about an hour and a half.
Oh my bad.
See you. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you, Bill.
All right,
thanks, Bill.
Okay, any other public comment from anyone? If not, we are gonna head over to the jail for our quarterly visit.
Chair.
And then we
can have an excuse for the
yes, you can be excused. We will start our Yes, you can be excused. So Dick and I and Rick will run over there.
Sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Good, I think. What's that mean? Oh, okay. Yeah, so Dick and Rick and I will run over there. Not a problem. And thanks, everyone. And then we'll journal over there.
I don't want to, but I do know.
I know. I do.